Hallelujah. How's everybody? Come on, lift your hands up. Lift your hands to heaven and get another drink, man. Again, ain't nothing worse than a straight Christian. Everybody ought to be drunk in the spirit. Every day. Every day. You know, when you're drunk, you don't care. Who cares? And you know, there's such an area of being in the spirit. And one of the things that God so desires is that we are in the spirit because he is spirit. And you can't get in the spirit without worship. Because worship brings the presence of God. And so many times we want to get in the spirit, but we're not willing to worship. And then we think we're spiritual. Well, when we think we're spiritual, we're prideful. Oh, we're so spiritual, we're so full of pride. Hallelujah. You know, as we were worshiping the Lord, there was that area as we worshiped the Lord, and his presence began to come. And I saw the presence of the Lord as a cloud. And he said, step in. He said, you know, he told Moses, when Moses saw him, he said, take your shoes off because you're on holy ground. In other words, we can't go any further till you take your shoes off. One of the things he was telling him was, lay down your stuff. You can't bring your stuff into my presence. And I saw people trying to get in the presence of God with luggage. And the luggage had bitterness and envy and all of the worries and my concerns and all of these things. And they would try and get in God's presence, and it would hold them from getting in. And the Lord kept saying, drop it. Drop it. Because you can't come in my presence with those things. See, people try to bring these things into the presence of God instead of cast them. That's why he says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Why? Because once you've cast them, then you can get in. You're not going to get in God's presence because what you're concerned then is all the things that you're carrying that you want to bring before him instead of relationship, instead of intimacy. These things prevent intimacy. Oh, Lord, but you know this. Oh, Lord, but you know that. Yes, he knows. You don't have to remind him. He definitely knows. In fact, he knows everything that's in that luggage. No matter how pretty that handbag is. It's loaded. And it's loaded all kinds of stuff that's associated with self. And he's saying, leave it out of my presence so you can enter my presence and we can have intimacy. And when people began to realize that and began to drop their stuff, then they were able to lift their hands and have intimacy with the Lord. And as his presence began and his cloud began to engulf them, they didn't care about anything. You know what happened? Trust was established. There was a connection made saying, you know what, Lord, how foolish I've been to even consider these things. Who am I to think that you can't take care of it? See, then there's the people who are in God's presence who tried to reach back to it again. And God's presence removed from them. You know why? Because they're trusting more in what they can do than what God can do. And I'm sharing with you this because this is what I saw this morning. Man, there isn't anything greater than the presence of God. There isn't any other fulfillment than God's presence. When that cloud engulfs you, and you are saturated. Everything is gone. And there's a refreshing and a rekindling of a love affair with the Lord. And you don't miss anything then. And every little thing that he does, you see. Oh. And it's like a brand new baby. You know, I was in prayer one time, and as I was kneeling and worshiping the Lord and worshiping the Lord, all of a sudden things were quiet, and this child and the Lord, I saw the Lord kneel down in front of me. And as he knelt down in front of me and stretched his hand towards me, I didn't go towards him, but this child that came out of me walked towards him and hugged him and loved him. Because he says, be childlike. See, pride can't enter his presence. Your strength and your abilities, your talents, and all the things that we rely on cannot enter his presence. A child is one that says, I'm all trusting in you. I can't do anything. And I saw this vision, and this child walked out of me and went, and the Lord was on his knees, and his hands were out like this, and they embraced, and I wept. I wept. Because that's what he's looking for. That's what he so desires. He wants his children. That's all he wants, is his children. And in that place, there is freedom. There's an embrace of love that nothing can give you but from him. No accomplishments in the natural realm can compare to that embrace of his love. That song that we sing, in the presence of your glory, I find rest. And in the depths of your love, I find peace. Those two, you know, sometimes we just sing these songs and not realize that this is what God is desiring from me and you. In the presence of his glory, there is a rest. And in the depths of his love, there is a peace that surpasses all understanding. And when that's been embraced in your life, you don't want anything else. And you look for it over and over and over. And you search and you look. And he says, seek. And you see, when he does this, it causes you to go deeper. It causes you to seek him more. Because the more you seek him, the more in depth you get, the less of you. Then you find that some of the things that were so petty in your life were not petty in God. You find that some of the things that you've been grumbling and complaining on, that you thought, oh, this, you know, this is nothing, that God says, it's something. It's something. And it's something that prevents the fullness of my embrace in your life. And one of the things that prevent an embrace of God in our life is called bitterness. Bitterness. Now, we can walk in bitterness, and there's a choice, bitterness or better. We can either walk in bitterness or get the better. And I believe that that's what the Spirit is trying to reveal to us, because right now, one of the ploys is the enemy is influencing individuals with bitterness. Bitterness, envy, strife, jealousy, rage, all of these areas. And its overseer is pride. Pride, personal reverence unto a deadly end. Pride goes before a fall. But we have a choice of bitter or better. Bitter or better. See, when we finally come out of the place of pleasing man and start pleasing God. See, pleasing man doesn't mean about just pleasing someone else. It means pleasing you. Well, I think I just please myself. That's why God gave us the formula of overcoming and victory and success. Deny yourself. Pick up the cross and follow him. Take off the old, put on a new, and follow. So would you follow me this morning in the scriptures? Bitter or better? It's your choice. And Deuteronomy chapter 6, or Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Daniel 6 and verse 3. Daniel was in captivity under King Darius. And in verse 3 it says, "And this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom." So they were trying to set a trap for Daniel. Instead of trying to become an excellent spirit themselves, they were trying to set a trap for Daniel because of jealousy, bitterness, and envy. But they could not find no charge or fault because he was a faithful man, nor was there any error or fault found in him. In verse 7, "All the governors of the kingdom and the administrators and satraps and counselors and advisors had consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius, sign the written decree." In other words, this was going to be an attack of deception from the enemy. They were actually deceiving the king because they had another motive. They were trying to exalt the king, but the king was deceived. They were just trying to get to Daniel because they knew that Daniel would not bow down and worship the king, that he would not forsake his relationship with the Lord. And in verse 13, "So they answered and said before the king that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed and made his petition 3 times a day, but he makes his petition 3 times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him because Daniel had earned his trust. But the king got deceived in making this decree and he couldn't come against his own decree. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, 'Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed.' So the king gave the command that they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel," now grab hold of this, "the king spoke, 'Your God, in whom you serve continuously,'" everyone say, "serve continuously,' "he will deliver you." He who is serving their king continuously, God will deliver. Now this is the king decreeing to Daniel. "Then a stone," verse 17, "was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring. and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might be changed. But you got to understand something. The king decreed something and sealed it. He was agreeing with the King of Glory. He said, you who serve your God continuously, the Lord rescue you and deliver you. And that was the last words he spoke before he sealed Daniel into the den with his own ring. In verse 20. And when he came to the den, he cried out with lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angels and shut the lions' mouths that they had not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take up Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones into pieces before they even came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make it decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Man, what a turnaround. It only took one man that the king changed the whole decree in the whole nation. One man that God sent before the king. And he commanded them to fear the Lord God Almighty of Daniel. For he is the living God, he said, and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Oh, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? It started out because Daniel had an excellent spirit. That word excellent in this means settled. He was settled. He was immovable. He was steadfast. No matter what. He knew his God. And because he knew his God, he continually served him. Not only that, but God rescued him. Look at and prospered him. God rescued him and what? Prospered him. Whoa. See, Daniel could have been bitter, but he chose better. I'm going to say it again. He could have been bitter because he served the king with a true heart. What he did was not wrong. He could have been bitter because of what he was accused. And they had to go in the lion's den. But he chose better because he knew that his God would rescue him. You know, so many times we're accepting good instead of better. But I'm telling you, God wants the best for me and you. But there's got to be a place where you are continuously serving. In other words, he's always before you. He's always there. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it blew my mind as the Spirit began to reveal to me the area of the relationship in the Spirit of with the Lord and how the enemy tries to deceive and attack. And right now there is much bitterness. There's envy and jealousy and rage. People are in competition with one another. And that's not the Lord. That's not the Lord at all. And 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 5, and we've heard this many times. Let's speak it together. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. So many times we want to exalt ourselves. We want to promote ourselves. Because what the enemy does is say, look at that person. You could do better than that. And in this, the Lord is saying, cast those cares upon me. Why? So that we can have intimacy. And I can embrace you. And my embrace in your life is sufficient. That's all you want. You see, you're just looking for the embrace of God Almighty. That's all we're looking for. But the enemy, he has all of these other plans for us. All of these other things. It says in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a what? Lion. What was in the den? Lions, and they were roaring. The whole family of those three governors, their children, their wives, never even made it to the bottom of it. They were eaten up beforehand. Daniel was thrown in there. And the lions honored him. Because he was a servant of the Most High God who created those lions. Verse 9. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and what? Settle you. What settle you mean? Excellent spirit. Excellent spirit. There's a roaring lion of deception. God is trying to settle us in an excellent spirit, rejecting bitterness, knowing that there is better. He says he gives grace to the humble. Amen? But he rejects the proud. One of the fruits of pride is bitterness. And Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 10. Let's speak it together. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, from the first day that you what? Set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God. Your words were heard, and I have come because of what? Of your words. Now, this is something powerful. Daniel set his heart to understand, and he humbled himself. In other words, before he even requested, he examined himself. Before he even requested, he examined himself. Does everybody got it? See, this is where humbling comes from. This is what God is looking. He says, if you're humble, you cannot be humble unless you first examine yourself. Humbleness is not a thing of carnality. It's a thing of the spirit. People think that they're humble because they haven't done something. They think that they're humble because they go pray. Oh, Lord, I come to you humbly. Oh, really? You didn't have to say that then. God knows whether you're humble. See, if you'll examine yourself first and you come in repentance, Lord, forgive me, for I am a man undone. I admit that I am a man that can do nothing without you. Have mercy upon me. See, when you say mercy, what you're asking him to do is consider you. Lord, have mercy upon me, consider me, and let your grace abound. In other words, when you say, Lord, consider me, you're asking him to release his grace, which is his plan. See, Daniel set his heart to understand, and he humbled himself, and God sent him revelation and visitation. He said, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. Again, Daniel set his heart to understand and examined himself. He humbled himself. This is how we get revelation and visitation. This revelation and visitation will bring you a place of settle or excellent spirit. Excellent spirit. That's why the Bible says be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication. Go to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Bitter or better? In verse 1, preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. For as for the saints who are on the earth, they are the what? Excellent ones. What's the ones he's talking about? Those who are what? Settled. They're the excellent ones who is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after what? Other gods. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a what? Good inheritance. I have a good inheritance. Why? Because he knew his God. You will not know him without being intimate with him. You will not know him sufficiently enough by just reading about him. People read Sports Illustrated and know about a player. They know every statistic. They think that they know this person inside and out, but never met him. There is a place where we meet Jesus in the Spirit. And that's when that child comes and is embraced by the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 29. Serves continually. That means you must be consistent and disciplined. You know, you always have to ask yourself, am I earning the trust of God or losing it? That's a part of your self-examination. Am I earning or losing? Deuteronomy 29 and verse 14. Bitter or better? Is everybody there? It says, I make this covenant and this oath not with you alone, but with him who stands here with us today before the Lord our God, as well as with him who is not here with us today. For you know that we dwell in the land of Egypt, which means world, carnal world, and that we came through the nations which you passed by, and you saw their abominations and their idols which were among them, wood and stone, silver and gold. So that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations and that there may not be among you a root of bearing bitterness or wormwood. And so it may not happen when he hears the words of this curse that he blesses himself in his own heart, saying, I shall have peace even though I follow the dictates of my heart, as though the drunkard could be included with the sober. The Lord would not spare him, for then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy would burn against that man, and every curse that is written in this book would settle on him, and the Lord would blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord would separate him from all the tribes of Israel for adversity according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. So that the coming generation of your children who rise up after you and the foreigner who comes from a far land would say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sickness which the Lord has laid on it. Again, bitterness is also caused by offense. It takes root to another level. Bitterness will take, or offense will take root to another level called bitterness. And again, it is held captive by unforgiveness and pride. It is held captive by unforgiveness and pride. I'm going to say this again. Bitterness is caused by offense. So someone is offended, the next level is bitterness. And it is held captive by unforgiveness and pride. In Job 7, Job chapter 7. Is everybody there? Everybody okay? Are you getting this? It's a ploy of the enemy. Job 7, verse 6. Let's speak it. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is a breath. My eye will never again see good. The eye of him who sees me will see me no more. While your eyes are upon me, I shall no longer be. As the clouds disappears and vanishes away, so he who goes down to the grave does not come up. He shall never return to his house, nor shall his place know him anymore. Therefore, I will not restrain my... First of all, he got into a woe is me. So everybody got it. Oh, it's all about me. He got into a woe is me syndrome here. And then he says, I will not restrain my mouth. That's the first eye. The second eye. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. The third eye. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Wow. Three eyes. Three strikes and you're out, right? Three eyes. So in this, you got to look at that. The I will not, I will speak, and I will complain. Complaining is a lack of wisdom. And in that, it's a lack of fear of the Lord. See, but its root is bitterness. Complainers are filled with bitter. Because people that complain are always thinking that themselves are better. And where they think themselves are better, self-better is called bitter. I'm going to say it again. Self-better is called bitter. In Isaiah 38, bitter or better. In verse 14, let's speak it together. Like a crane or a swallow, so I chattered. I mourned like a dove. My eyes fail from looking upward. So when you're looking downward, what are you looking at? Your past. When you're looking upward, you're looking at your future. Oh, Lord, I am oppressed. Of course you are. You're looking down. Oh, Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He has both spoken to me and he himself has done it. I shall walk carefully all my years in the bitterness of my soul. Oh, Lord, by these things men live, and all of these things is the life of my spirit. So you will restore me and make me live. Indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness, but you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption. See, he said it was for my own peace. So he thought at his own peace, it was okay to be bitter. But then he said, my gosh, you've delivered my soul. So then, but he says, I got to be very careful in my soul not to become bitter. Why? Because the enemy speaks to your soul. God speaks to your spirit. I have to be careful. Woe is me of oppression. Remember, oppression will also promote bitterness in the soul where the enemy attacks. We must walk carefully to discern that bitterness will attack you. Oppression will attack you. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit to deliver those who've been oppressed by the devil. So we must have the anointing. We must maintain the fear of the Lord. Amen. Acts 18. Be careful in your soul of bitterness. Repent, turn from it. Acts 18, verse 18. Let's speak it together. Hallelujah. Oh, Acts 8. I'm sorry. I knew that didn't look right. But I won't be bitter. I'll just get better. Acts chapter 8 and verse 18. Glory. And when Simon saw that through the laying out of the apostles' hands that the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Like you can buy the things in the spirit with the carnal possessions. Cracks me up. Saying, give me this power also that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with carnality. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. You have neither repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by what? Bitterness and bound by iniquity. Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of these things which you spoke may come upon me. Again, he wanted something of God with carnal purchase. It's called wickedness. There was poison and bitterness. You know, it was pretty amazing because I was checking to see what the weather was like today, and they had on the news. And they were interviewing this family that has been out camping all night long. Now, today's Sunday for Black Friday. You know, there's a reason why it's called Black Friday. Because it is a deceptive day. People are thinking that they're getting the greatest deals, and I'm not saying that they're not. But these people are camping out, started last night with their children. And then they interviewed the kids, some of the people there. Yes, I'm going to get this game for $99. That's $199. So you're going to take 6 days out to save $100. See, this is where carnality, this is where idolatry, materialism, it is the focus of materialism on that day. That's why it's called Black Friday. It's one of the highest levels of materialism day. See, if they'd have called it Blessed Friday, it would have been donated. Stores would realize what they sow is they reap. But in this, I mean, it just blew me away because here I was. I'm like, man, this is wow. Black Friday, people waiting in line. Today's Sunday, there's 6 days till the store even does this special event. And they're camping out there, their kids. Because they're out of school for the vacation. So let's just hang out in front of the store all too long. That's good family fellowship they got there. They sleep out in the cold. People fight for carnal goods just like Simon tried to. What happened about my God supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory and does far above all I could ever ask or think? Romans 3. I'd never seen that. It just blew me away. In verse 9, Romans 3, 9. What then, are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they all are under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asses under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. In other words, the Lord is not before them. The Lord is not before them. No fear of God. No reverence, honor, and respect. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. You know, did you ever see the advertisements of, like those, a picture of someone, they advertise something? You know, they're advertising a drink or they're advertising someone. They have these sports figures. I think people need to make a picture of Jesus and put it in their living room and their bedrooms and carry it with them maybe. Maybe I'll get them to the practice that Jesus is always seeing and always knowing him before them. I'm only kidding. Don't make pictures. But in this, unless we come to that place in relationship where Jesus is always before us, there is no fear. You will say things, do things that are displeasing to God. I've had people tell me, well, Jesus told me this. It's like, Jesus didn't tell you this. You know, because it promotes self. God doesn't promote us. He promotes him. When God gives us revelation, it should bring a humbling, not an exaltation. It doesn't make us any better. The Bible says God reveals the mysteries to those who seek him. You got to be humbled to seek him. And you can't carry your stuff in there. No suitcases full of carnality go in the presence of God. Amen? In Ephesians 4 and verse 20, it says, but you have not learned Christ. You've not learned the anointing. You're not being taught by the anointing. You're not hearing. You're not seeing things through. You're not hearing things through. Your desires, your carnality is always interfering. You're not reverencing the Lord. The fear of the Lord is not there. Look, without the fear of God, you can't receive. The enemy comes and steals real quick. It says, you have not learned Christ or the anointing. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct. Like I said, if Jesus was in front of you all the time, we wouldn't be acting the way we do sometimes. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Not learned. In other words, they are rejecting the teachings of the anointing. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down. If the hands are hanging down, what does that mean? Oppression. They're usually looking down. And make straight, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone shall fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. In other words, he cried for the birthright, but he never repented for selling it. Well, he sold his birthright. You know what caused him to sell his birthright? Bitterness. Bitterness entices you to sell your birthright. James 3, in verse 13. James 3, verse 13. Everybody has fallen into bitterness at some state, and it is torment. It's torment. They try to find peace, carnality, but it doesn't work. In verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have what? Bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what? Demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and everything are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, that means submissive, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. There's a wisdom from hell and a wisdom from heaven. It's our choice. Carnal wisdom justifies its envy, its bitterness. It justifies it. I have a reason to be bitter. I have a reason to hold on to this. You don't know what happened to me. Oh, there goes me again. The I syndrome. But that person did this and that. I can't trust this. I can't do this. Oh, die. Come out of bitterness. And there won't be torment. And walk in the fear of the Lord with reverence, honor, and respect. Put Jesus in front of you. Sever yourself from these things. And walk in the presence and the glory of God and let Him embrace you. Because His embrace changes everything. Psalm 111, 10. Hallelujah. Psalm 111, verse 10. Let's speak it together. The fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of wisdom. That's the wisdom from where? Above. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if someone does not walk in the fear of God, they are not walking according to God's wisdom. It's impossible. They're walking according to carnal wisdom. And carnal wisdom is from beneath. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all those who do His commandments, His praise endures forever. Proverbs 1:7. It says, the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom. The wisdom from above, they accept the wisdom from beneath. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Proverbs 9. And we'll close here. Oh, glory. Verse 10. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. Wow. Bitter or better? That's a ploy of the enemy. We must be careful. Don't envy. Don't be jealous about someone else. God deals with us on an individual basis. Amen? Individually. Forgive, forget, and let go. This is a new day. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not come. Don't even be concerned about tomorrow. And please don't go stand in those lines for a week. Your God is able to provide and bring you to the places of discount, I can guarantee you. There's this place called Upscale. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we ask, Lord, that the seed be protected and grow and bear fruit for your glory. You know, there is so much help. There's a teaching called the Spirit of Bitterness. You can go to theeternallibrary.org. There's prayers. Everything is available for you. It is a armory of weapons. Use them. Kick butt. Don't take no garbage from the devil anymore. And come out of yourself. And let Christ reign and give him glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.